Hey everyone, welcome to Raise Traditional. I'm your host, Madison Childers, and I'm so excited that you're here with me today. This podcast is all about embracing and celebrating traditional lifestyles for women, especially in the great outdoors. So grab a cup of coffee, find a cozy spot, and join me on this journey as we explore the beauty and adventure of traditional lifestyle. I can't wait to share these stories with you. Let's get started. All right, everyone, welcome back to Raise Traditional. Today, we are thrilled to have Becca Garris as a passionate traditional bow hunter, homesteader, and author of Field Guide to Feral Parenting. Becca exemplifies field-to-table living while raising her daughters in the great outdoors. Let's dive into her inspiring story. So, Becca, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What inspired you to start archery and hunting?
Well, growing up, my dad was always big into archery. So I kind of just, you know, followed along. I had an older brother who was really into archery and hunting. And so I wanted to do it. I was the first girl. So, you know, asked my dad. My dad included me in everything. And that's kind of how I got started with just in general hunting and archery.
Yeah. It was the same way. My grandfather, he had two daughters and then had me. And then my sister came along. And so he was kind of stuck with all girls. And luckily for him, my mom has no interest in it, but my aunt is an incredible compound archer. And awesome. Because she's so good, we'll let her be an archer. And still, no, I'm just kidding. She's very, very good. And she's an incredible bow hunter, just an incredible That's person awesome. In general. But then I came along and I was kind of the like daughter and son. So they're like, all right, you're going to get into it. And I'm so glad I did. I started when I was 7 with my grandpa and it's been the best That's thing awesome. Since. So what would you say, were there any role models or pivotal moments that guided you on your journey, especially as a mom?
I mean, probably not really. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I didn't know any women hunters. I didn't know women in general who even liked to be outdoors. I remember looking at like Bass Pro Shop catalogs and I saw Brenda Valentine. She was the only woman in there in the lineup of all the guys. I thought she was the coolest. So, I mean, sort of Brenda Valentine, like I was like, oh, cool. Another woman hunts. So, like girls do hunt. Other than that, probably not really.
You know, what's kind of funny is I've never shared this with you, but well, see, Bradley's 5 and a half. So it would have been at least 5 years ago. I was at my grandpa's house and Bradley was like maybe 6 months old. And so I was just enjoying my grandparents watching my child while I went to the bathroom for, you know, my own time to myself. And I remember my grandpa had, you know, all these like bow hunter magazines and stuff in there. And so I opened one and I'm just kind of like looking through it. And there was this just incredible lady. And she had, so Bradley had been going to bow hunts with like 3D hunts or 3D shoots with me on his pack. Yeah. But we had never been outside like hunting yet. But here was this awesome lady who had her daughter in a pack and she was posted up with a deer. And I can remember like 5 years like later, it was you with your daughter. And I can remember thinking like, holy cow, this lady hunts with her kids. Like it's doable. And Bradley was about 3 before he finally like could quiet enough to do it. But it was that moment for me that was so huge. And it was you that like I can remember seeing and thinking, holy cow, you were the only girl in that magazine. And you were a stick bow and you had your kid. It was very inspirational. So I just wanted to share that with you because it meant a lot to me.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. I love that.
Welcome. So that leads us into you carrying your kids on your hunts. You've taken them. I mean, how old were you or how old were they when you started hunting with them?
Isabella was 6 months old when she went on her first turkey hunt. So she was like pretty small.
Yeah, that's amazing. What challenges do you find? Or I guess not necessarily challenges. We all know what challenges there could be, but what have you found that works to keep, I hate to say it, quiet, but like teach them to be quiet during your hunts?
Well, when they're little, it's kind of easy because my girls both fell asleep in the pack and then it was like, okay, so you just go hunting during nap time and then they're nice and quiet and you just walk around and you have a quiet hunt. So it was pretty easy. It's when they get a little older and they like to talk.
Yes.
So my older one, she was always a chatterbox. She talked a lot. So I would have snacks and stuff. I would hand back her, or even just like hand her back a stick or leaf or something to keep her occupied. Elsie is quieter in general, so she hasn't been as difficult. She'll have like these spurts where she talks and stuff, but she's generally pretty quiet. So she been my slightly easier child to hunt with.
Well, I love that. But, yeah. That's awesome. Bradley, he is a chatterbox. And we started, so I took him turkey hunting last year. He actually did really good, but we spot and stalked. So getting him to walk quiet, same thing with elk hunt. He had fun, but his thing was his attention span. He had about maybe a good 2 hours, and he's like, can we be?
That's really good, though. That's really good.
I mean, I'm happy.
All of my hunts, I feel like, are so short, and people think that I'm out there hunting for hours. No, because my kids don't last that long. I just do what I can. And, you know, sometimes that's enough. You don't need a lot of time, but every time. My hunts are pretty short, and I'm not sure that other people realize how short sometimes they really are.
That's a really good point. I think that's really, it's so hard with social media because everything is perception, right?
Oh, yeah, and so exactly.
It's so true. I mean, people would be like, oh my gosh, you can't believe you're taking your kid out into the freezing cold for hours. It's like, we go out maybe for 2 hours. The kid's eating, living his best life. Exactly. And I'm not going to lie. He's got a wagon and fuzzy blankets and cereal and his iPad and some headphones. I mean, the kid's loving every second of, like, this is his best life.
They're living better lives than we are.
No kidding. I'm like, can I get in there with you?
Yeah. Like, they're not the ones that are having to walk around. We're the ones that are walking around carrying everything.
I could live around. Well, what that gets us in. So you had a lot of really good tips right there in the parenting side and hunting with them. What motivated you to write your book, Field Guide to Feral Parenting?
I kept getting like the same questions repeatedly on social media. So I thought, you know, maybe I can just compile everything that I've learned, things that I think might help other parents, put them all together into a book, an ebook.
Yeah.
Generally. And maybe that would be more helpful. So that's what I did. And it took me like, I felt like it was a lot of work for what it was, but I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it anyway. So I put it all together and hopefully it's helped some people.
What themes do you want, or do you hope that your readers take away from it?
Just basically the biggest theme for me is don't feel like just because you become a parent that like you're limited, you can't do all the things. I know there are some things you can't do, you know, you have to keep your kids safe, but for the most part, outdoor things, you can bring your kid along. Yeah. You may have to slightly alter how you do things, but, being a parent doesn't mean you can't go out and do things that you enjoy. Yeah. So that's basically the general takeaway from my book that I hope that people realize, they'll read it and be like, oh, hey, you know, being a parent, yes, exactly.
Yeah. We did that same thing. I always tree stand hunt for whitetail here in North Idaho. Yeah. And I still set it up and I did it a few times, but we ended up getting a blind and I switched my bows around. So I had one that would clear, you know, a blind and, it was a cool, intimate experience with my son. And a lot of people judge a hunter based on their harvest.
Oh, yeah, definitely do.
And for us, it's like, okay, this is part of the experience right now. Like, that's what I'm in it for. Yep. Are we going to get something? Probably not. Are we going to see something? Maybe. But oh my gosh, my kid keeps asking me, when are we going to go set up the bear bait? When are we going to go, can I go bear hunt with you this year? And I'm like, well, and my husband and I are talking about, we're like, okay, we could get a 2-man ladder stand. We could set it up lower to the ground, take some rungs out of it. They make you harnesses. Yeah, he's going to be 6, but he is so involved in it and all. And I mean, the kid can climb a ladder. Like, no, it's a matter of you need to sit still. But we put him on a chairlift, and I'm like, okay, so treat this like a chairlift. Don't fall. And obviously, you'd have a harness and everything, but we're kind of contemplating that this year. And people always say, like, oh, I can't believe you take your kid bear hunting with you. That's just so dangerous and irresponsible. It's like, you can run into a bear anywhere. Like,
you could.
At least we're prepared.
At least when you're bear hunting, you're prepared for a bear to walk in.
Exactly. So we're going to transition a little bit. Yesterday I loved your picture of you standing ankle deep in mud, but you do a lot of homesteading. So
We do.
how does hunting and gardening fit into your lifestyle?
I've kind of always done the hunting thing, but gardening was actually somewhat new. My parents gardened when I was a kid, so I was sort of familiar with it. Then I did a lot of farming through college. I worked on farms.
Oh, neat.
And then I had my first garden, I think the year after I had Isabella, because we moved to like a little farm. We had land, we had about 5 acres.
That's awesome.
And so I started for my first garden, and then I just loved it so much. So every year I have a garden, and it just keeps getting bigger and
Bigger
bigger.
and bigger.
Yeah, but I love it. It's something to do like in the summer, and the girls
Yeah.
love it. So it's been fun.
Well, and it's neat you're teaching your family incredible sustainability. And I
Exactly. I
mean,
feel like it's important for my girls to know that stuff too. I mean, they
yeah.
don't have to do that as an adult, but at least they will know how to do it as an adult.
Right. And I mean, I started planning out certain things. I look at what Bradley eats a lot of, and I'm like, okay, we can grow blueberries on a blueberry bush. And okay,
Yes.
we can grow some strawberries and some potatoes and some tomatoes and green beans. We can can our green beans. And I was like, you know, even if I have a small garden, but I'm utilizing what we eat the most, and I'm not having to buy it in the store, and I can trust more of
Exactly.
where it comes from. So I'm going down that rabbit hole of like, oh my gosh, what's on our food? What's in our food?
Yes, especially for me, fruit. Like I planted so much fruit this spring because the girls go through so much fruit and it's so expensive. So I'm like,
So
Nate, my
expensive, and it goes
goal.
bad so
It
fast.
does. I know it does. But I mean, I'll buy like $5 worth of blueberries. It'll be gone in one day.
Yeah, that's so
Jeez.
true. I know we'll do the same thing, and I'm like, you need to like, it's that
Ration
fine line of rationing it, and then it goes bad. I'm like, okay, so we can ration just a little bit less
it.
this next time, or exactly. Oh,
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so as a mother introducing your daughters to archery and hunting, what challenges have you faced?
I would say not that many challenges when it came to that. Both girls showed a giant interest at a young age. Isabella was, I want to say, 2.5. And then I started like showing her how to shoot. And then by the time she was, she was almost 3, I think, she could shoot all by herself, which was
So
really young.
awesome.
And we would go to the local 3D range and people would just look at me like, wow, she's gonna shoot that bow. Like the bow was taller than her. It was so cute. And Elsie, she started showing interest a couple months ago and she's not even 2.5 yet. So like she'll go out and shoot with me. So
I've seen that.
it's been really easy, like introducing them. I don't know if they'll like stay interested as they get older. I hope they do. But it's been easy just to let them have fun with it. And I never like, force them to do it. I'll ask them if they want to shoot. If they don't want to shoot, that's fine. But they very much enjoy it.
I love that. Yeah, Bradley, he was kind of going through a phase for a second where he's like, I don't want to go shoot my bow. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm an active member in our bow club, and I'm teaching him, you know, this is how we are members. We do these things. And he'll go, and like when we do indoor shoots, he'll write like the tags and stuff and like help put them on the, but he kind of would go like, okay, fine, but then can we go? And we'd get there, and the kid would, he's like, did you bring my bow? And so we'd
Yeah,
set it up,
they
and I'm like,
always
dude,
change their mind.
it's time to go. And he's like, oh, okay. So we just went to a 3D shoot. It was a traditional only this last weekend. And Riley with Archery's Pass, he's one of our favorites. He was there, and he brings this awesome trailer with a whole bunch of trad gear. And that's where I get my pink and red feathers for my arrows. So I stock up every time I see him. And he had these targets out front. Well, Bradley has been begging me for a zombie target since we went and saw a paper target at like our local sporting goods store. I was like, buddy, they don't make zombie targets. Like, I've never seen one. And I even looked it up. We didn't find anything. So we were walking down the road to the trailer, and he goes, Mom. And he just takes off. And I'm like, what? Delta McKenzie does make a zombie target. Fun fact.
Had no
And
idea.
it was $120, and I was like, oh, I don't want to spend that right now. So we go back to camp, and
No, for
my
a
girl, it's
target, that's not too bad.
and it is like probably at least 3 feet tall. It was a great deal, don't get me wrong. But I was like, oh. My grandpa goes, I've been waiting to find something for his birthday. Let's split it. I was like, okay. So we have it set up in the backyard. I'm sure my neighbors just absolutely love seeing that. But it's set up and every day after school. Can we go home and shoot my bow? I'm like,
aw.
Yes, I love so that. Cute. So finding certain things just for them to shoot at that they love is a huge key too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I fully agree.
All right. So that kind of leads us into, for families wanting to introduce their kids to archery and hunting, what advice would you give them?
I would say let your kid lead. Like, you can ask them, see if they show an interest. If they don't show an interest, don't force it, because that's literally will just make it worse. That'll push them the other way for showing interest. So I feel like just wait until your kid's ready. And when they do show interest, let them lead everything, essentially. If they want to go hunting with you, bring them along on some hunts, but don't force anything. And the same with archery.
Yeah.
I mean, make it fun and keep it like short and easy and just follow their lead. And they'll probably just keep showing more interest in it. If you make it fun and it about spending time with you, that makes a massive difference as well.
I know we were talking about this at our last Bowman meeting, and our active volunteers are a little bit on the, they're a little bit older. And so trying to set up these shoots that we have, I mean, it's just, it's a lot of work. And so we keep talking about how we need more of the younger generation, you know, and the young blood to help set up. And so we're hosting a like open house at our outdoor range, just open to the public. And it's a whole thing of like inviting families, like the entire family learn together. It's, there are very few things. There's, you know, maybe pickleball and golf and I guess fishing, but there's very few activities out there that are multi-generational. You know, it's me, my grandpa, and my son. And so to have that option to learn something new together, and I think that is such a cool thing for kids to witness, as, you know, their parents being vulnerable.
I fully agree. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that, you know, it works out for everyone and that people want to come. But I think that's the key, is getting families involved together. Like you said,
I agree. That makes a big difference, especially to younger kids.
Yes. And I think that's perfect what you said, just letting kids explore it at their own pace. And keeping it short for starts. What would you say if you had one chance to change someone's mind to become a traditional archer? What would you say to encourage them that way?
Oh, goodness. This one's kind of hard. I would say that probably that I found the biggest difference for me between the compound and the traditional, besides obviously the bow is different. Yeah. I found that I enjoy everything more, I guess. I appreciate everything a little bit more, just because it is more of a challenge and it is harder. So you have to change your mindset and you have to, you know, fully realize the difference between traditional and compound. And I just feel like you just enjoy everything a little bit more and appreciate it a little bit more than the way you do with a compound.
Yeah. And we joke all the time that, you know, my husband has his compound. He is very successful at, you know, getting us our harvest every year and filling the freezer. And I appreciate that for him. And I will never, we joke. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know anything about traditional archery, it's always just kind of a light joke between trad and compounders. But the truth is, I mean, what those bows can do is just absolutely incredible. And it's for people, especially who are using them for hunting and to be successful. I work full time, so I don't get a lot of time to hunt, unfortunately. And so we need those, you know, we need him going out with that compound bow and being successful for us. So I would agree. I think that for children, if you're getting into it, even as an adult for the first time, traditional is just a lot less intimidating up front. For me, when I first started shooting a compound, and I'd been in archery for probably 15 years at that point, I still felt so intimidated because I didn't understand all the parts and pieces. And I'm somebody who likes to be in control. And so at least I can look at my bow and be like, oh, this is off, or hey, this, you know, needs to be adjusted, or my string, or, you know, whatever, my arrow's not quite. But when it comes to a compound, there's so many parts to it that I'm like, oh no, if this breaks or if this happens, I don't know what to do.
There are so many things that can go wrong with a compound, which is why when people ask me, you know, like, bow should I start my kid on? I always recommend traditional because mm-hmm. it is so simple. It's literally just, you know,
aim and shoot.
Stick and a string, essentially, and there's a lot less working parts. And it's yes. a lot less confusing for a kid. You know, you knock your arrow and you grab the string and you shoot it.
Yep.
And with a compound, you know, you have your probably not with a little kid, you don't have a peep sight.
Right.
But I mean, you have all these other contraptions on your bow and yep. it's just more and it's more complicated. So I always recommend starting a kid with a traditional bow and they can bump up to compound.
Absolutely. You know, yeah.
At some point. But I feel like traditional is way simpler for a kid, especially like a littler kid.
Ellie was 4. We were gifted a really nice compound bow and we went into our archery shop and we, you know, got it all, you know, fitted and everything for him. And he could not get past the release. Like the release was so yeah. nerve wracking to him. And it was kind of freaky as a mom. Cause as he's getting used to pulling it back, he was like hitting it too soon. And I could just feel like he didn't have near as much control. And he had been shooting yeah. traditional for over a year at that point. So he knew what he was doing. He still to this day doesn't even shoot with a glove. I mean, I've made him a little glove and yeah, he has no interest. And I'm like, are your fingers sore? We all fling 200 arrows at, you know, some of these shoots. He's like, no, they're fine. They're kind of hard. And you're like, oh, they're calloused. Got it.
He probably has calluses then.
But it's great because it's one less thing that gets in the way of, you know, I think we have like a 5-step process, like check X, Y, and Z. It's literally mm-hmm. hit your anchor, fix your body. No pinky. Gosh, I mean, that's pretty much, those are the main ones now. And deep breath, because he got into a habit of snap shooting. And so it's okay. Yeah. So I guess it's like 4 steps now and yeah. done. And it's easy for a kid to learn. So, and some of us adults. So, Becca, thank you so much for sharing your incredible journey with us. And I encourage you guys to check out her book, Field Guide to Feral Parenting, for more insights on all of Becca's wonderful knowledge. Thank you so much. I really hope that this inspires you to get your family out there and connected to nature and living whatever traditional lifestyle suits you. Until next time.